Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Please have the passage open and the outline that looks like that. We live life awash in a sea of proverbs, and I think proverbs can be more confusing than clarifying. You see, should I be courageous or cautious? Well, I should be courageous, of course, because nothing ventured, nothing gained. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I should just suck it up, for what am I, a man or a mouse? And yet I should be cautious, because pride comes before a fall, and I should look before I leap. And a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I know I should work hard because a stitch in time saves nine, a rolling stone gathers no moss, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy and wise, and yet I don't want to work too hard because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. It's good to work in teams because many hands make light work, but then again maybe it's not because too many cooks spoil the broth. I don't even know what I should eat because an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but then again you are what you eat and I don't want to be an apple. So, friends, proverbs can be confusing, can't they? There's all this proverbial wisdom out there in our world, but what do we do with it? And if it's like that with non-biblical proverbs, well, it can be like that with this book of the Bible as well. Christians can find it hard to figure out their way around this book. What do we do with it? Look at these verses, which occur side by side. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." Very next verse, 26 verse 5. "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." What's going on there? Proverbs just seem to be confusing, don't they? Certainly more confusing than clarifying. Well, friends, what we're going to do is dive into this book over the next 8 talks. And tonight is a really important talk because we begin with the introduction, which is a bit of a key. It'll help us to understand the book as a whole. You see, chapters 1 to 9 of Proverbs are the introduction to the book as a whole, and verses 1 to 7 of chapter 1 are the introduction to the introduction. So an essential passage that will help to set us on the right course as we charge into this book, so that hopefully Proverbs, as a book for us, will be clarifying and not confusing. That's my aim. That's our aim. Let's ask God to help us. As we begin, Father God, we thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. We thank you for this gem of a book, Proverbs. And we pray that through it, you may give us the gift of wisdom. And we pray it for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Have a look at Proverbs verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." We know that our friends influence us one way or the other, don't we? You may know this, you may have a friend and they've moved to a different circle of friends, perhaps a different group at school, they just hang out with a different crowd. And if it's the wrong crowd, if it's a bit of a bad crowd, then they'll change, won't they? This might have happened to people that you know. Hang out with people who are a good influence though, and then they'll change you for the better. Proverbs itself teaches us this, so look at these couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 13 verse 20, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm." Or this one, 27:17, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Now this gives us good reason to get stuck into Proverbs. You see, Proverbs are written by Solomon. Solomon wrote them, and Solomon was way wise, very, very wise. He was the king of Israel, and God appeared to this king Solomon in a dream and said to him, "Solomon, what do you want? What would you like me to give you?" Now, how would you answer that question? God turns up in a dream and says to you, "What would you like?" This is what I would ask for. That's a Maserati. I'd say, "God, one of those would be great, thank you." In the garage, with the keys, ready to go. But Solomon asked for this. Look at what Solomon asked for. God said, "What do you want?" This is what he said. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, "God, that's what I want. I want wisdom, please." And God gave him wisdom. So look at the next bit of 1 Kings, this next passage. "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or a Maserati or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Verse 12, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. Solomon was the wisest guy in all of history, and Proverbs is his collected wisdom. So here's reason enough to get stuck into this book. That's really all we need. Let's get reading, I think. How exciting. This is the collected wisdom of the wisest wise man that there has ever been. But the introduction gives us more reasons. The next five verses tell us the purpose of Proverbs, what it's going to do to us if we read it. Verses 2 to 6 tell us this. I'm up to point 3 on my outline if you're following along. The purpose of Proverbs. Point A, knowledge. Proverbs will make you wise. So verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, understanding words of insight. Or in the NIV, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. Now, some people hide their knowledge, don't they? That's what's going on in this scandal with Tommy Waterhouse and the racing industry. I don't know if you've been following it. But a wealthy guy called John Singleton, who owned a horse, has accused the trainer, Tommy Waterhouse, of having inside information that this particular horse was sick, so that he had a bit of an advantage as a bookkeeper. Now, John Singleton pulled out just in time and didn't place a massive bet on this horse, but he's charged this guy, Tommy Waterhouse, of basically using inside information. And you're not allowed to do that. He's charged him of having wisdom, if you like, and using it selfishly. That's what that scandal is about, if you've been following it at the moment. Solomon, however, has real wisdom. He has real knowledge, knowledge that matters, not knowledge about racehorses, knowledge that matters, and he's generous with it, okay? He's written it down for us, given it to us. Why? That we might attain wisdom. Because behind Solomon is the God who is generous with his wisdom. God shared his wisdom with Solomon that God might share his wisdom with us. Proverbs is written by a wise man to make us wise. But what is wisdom? Well, it's knowledge, yes. So again, verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. So it's about what we know, definitely. It starts with our mind, but it doesn't stop with our mind. It's applied knowledge. Verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Or another version, to receive instruction in wise dealing. Who knows what the degree MBA stands for, that postgraduate degree? MBA, what's an MBA? Master of Business Administration. Yeah, Master of Business Administration. That's what it stands for, and it's a qualification. Proverbs will give us what I like to call an MLA, a Master of Life Administration. That's what this book will do. It'll teach you how to master life. Seriously, that's what the book will do. It'll make you somebody who lives well, who makes good decisions, who is sensible, who thrives at life. So look at a couple of these Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 8. They'll be up on the screen. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way. You'll be set up to succeed in life. The next one, Proverbs 24, 5 and 6. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage a war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom will make you thrive at life. Which really is to live righteously. That's what it is to be wise. So imagine for a second you ask the person on the street, what do you think it means to be wise? What sort of things do you think they might say? You tell me, yell them out. If you just ask a mate at school or at uni or on the street, what is wisdom? What does it mean to live wisely? What sort of things do you think they might say? Okay, careful how you spend your money. Yep, yep. Shrewd, yeah. I mean, both of those are right. Thanks, Beth. Thanks, Neil. I wonder whether people have a bit of a kind of sort of a negative understanding of wisdom. That is, it's a way of sort of getting ahead, being a bit crafty, a bit savvy, you know, streetwise, that sort of sense. Perhaps even being corrupt for your own good to get ahead, you know, this kind of idea. But God tells in his word in Proverbs that that's actually not wisdom at all. To be wise is to do right. It's to live righteously. That is morally. It's to do the right thing. That is to not sin. So yeah, again, we see that in verse 3, don't we? For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. You see, it's wise to live righteously. It's wise to do the right thing. It's really stupid to sin. To sin is wrong. God forbids it. It's also stupid. Some friends of mine were writing a kid's song. This was in Newcastle several years ago when I was up there. Some friends of mine were writing a kid's song for church. They wanted to teach about sin. And they wrote this song that had these lines. Sin is just like vomit. Sin is just like spew. It was such a great song. It had actions as well. The kids loved it. They got into it. And it was brilliant. And, you know, it's the teaching of Proverbs. Like, there's nothing good about sin, nothing attractive about sin, nothing of value about sin. It's uncool, it's ugly, it's stupid, it's dumb. That's what Proverbs teaches us, okay? There's nothing wise about sinning. It's foolish to sin. The fool is the person who sins. The wise person lives righteously. Proverbs will teach us how to tell the difference. What a treasure, what a gem of a book, what a vital book. And Proverbs is for everybody. Proverbs is for both the simple and the wise. It's for the simple who need to learn wisdom. So verse 4, it's for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. But it's not just for the simple, it's also for the wise. So look at verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. You see, Proverbs will make the wise person wiser still. When you think of somebody wise, I wonder who comes to mind for you. I hope that lots of people come to mind. Lots of people in our church come to mind immediately when I think of a wise person that I would like to follow and become like when I grow up. But one wise person that I think of when I think of wise people is our Anglican Archbishop, Peter Jensen. He's an incredibly wise person, I believe, who's led our Sydney Anglican Diocese wonderfully well in very difficult times, times of great opposition to the Christian gospel. A very, very wise man. And one of the things that I notice about Peter is that he's always learning, constantly growing in wisdom. He's a prolific reader. He's a humble man. He's teachable. He's in his late 60s, and just before the great preacher Chapo died, Peter was sending Chapo videos of himself preaching to get advice and instruction and tips so that he could keep learning and improving. That's pretty humble for a guy in his late 60s. That's pretty humble for a preacher, as good a preacher as Peter Jensen is. Such a wise man, always learning. But again, that's wisdom. It's wisdom to know that we need to keep growing in wisdom. Proverbs will help the simple person grow in wisdom. It will help the wise person become wiser still. That is, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. And again, other Proverbs in the book bear this out. So Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will become still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he'll increase in learning. You see, being teachable, keen to learn, hungry for instruction, that's wisdom. Is that you, friends? Does that describe you? But to think that you've arrived, that you've got life sorted, that you're wise already as opposed to all those other folk, well, that makes you not a fool according to Proverbs, but actually worse than a fool. So look at this, Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That's a real trap for us, isn't it? To think we're wise and that we don't need to keep learning. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that Peter Jensen, our Archbishop, is such a wise man and such a great leader, because another thing wisdom does is equips leaders. It equips leaders. Look at verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. That last little word there, guidance, is really a word about leadership or leading others. The word refers to the skill of a helmsman steering a boat. My translation is the art of leadership. Let the wise learn and add to their learning. Let the discerning get the art of leadership. You see, if you become wise, you become wise for yourself, yes, but you'll become wise for others as well. Other people will follow you. They'll benefit. You'll serve them. You'll be a leader. Proverbs will equip leaders. Do you want to be leading others? It's a good thing to desire leadership in the Bible, to desire responsibility and service of others. That's a great desire to have. I hope you do want to be a leader. Well, Proverbs will equip you. It will make you a leader. It will make you a great leader. And the book brings this out as well. Proverbs 8, 15 and 16. By wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By wisdom, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. The final thing Proverbs will do for us is give us the framework to understand individual Proverbs. This is just a little bit of a tricky idea. Bear with me briefly. Proverbs 1 says the Proverbs plural of Solomon, son of David. What do these do? Verse 6, for understanding, it's literally proverb singular, a proverb. That is the whole, the book as a whole, the whole collection of proverbs will help us understand an individual proverb. What it means is that we need to have some understanding of the book as a whole to be able to pull out an individual proverb and get it right. What I'm saying is that context is just as important in this book as in any other part of the Bible. See, we might think that Proverbs is just this random collection of unrelated fragments of advice. I can just pull one that I like, pull something on being a good worker, or pull something on what to do with my money, or pull a proverb on marriage or something, and that'll help me. But no, we need to know the book as a whole. And if you know the book as a whole, then you can get heaps out of the individual Proverbs. You'll actually be able to read them rightly. You'll be able to figure out what to do with those two proverbs I put up at the start that seem to be contradictory. They're not contradictory at all, but we need to know the book as a whole to be able to understand the parts. So let me suggest to you, friends, if you get the chance, why not read through Proverbs as a whole? Just read through it sequentially over this term. We're going to be working through it topically to some degree, but you'll get more out of it if you just get your head around the book as a whole. I recommend that. But, and this is my final point, in terms of unlocking Proverbs as a whole and getting this book, verse 7 is the key. Verse 7 is the absolute key. This is the foundation for Proverbs. Have a look at this. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't think the author's drawing a distinction between knowledge and wisdom there when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge as opposed to wisdom. I think it's the same idea. He uses wisdom in the next bit of the verse. He's thinking of wisdom as well. We know this because look at these couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Or 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. And humility comes before honor. What does it mean to fear God? What does that mean? Well, it means knowing who He is and responding appropriately, which is to revere Him and worship Him and love Him and trust Him and serve Him. It also means to be afraid of Him. Sometimes we're quick to say, oh, to fear God means, it doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but I think that's to take the sharp edge away from the expression. I think it does, because God is our Creator, He's our Redeemer, but He's Judge as well. And to have a healthy fear of the Lord, well, that's wisdom. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not a beginning that we move on from, like we might move on from a train station as we catch a train. No, this is a foundation, a beginning that we grow upon. We never leave the fear of the Lord. And without the fear of the Lord, we'll never get wisdom. See, Proverbs won't make sense if you don't fear God. We can't become wise, truly wise, if we don't fear God. We might be able to do some wise things. We might be able to be wise in some areas, according to Proverbs, but we'll never be truly wise unless we fear God. And one commentator has this quote, what the alphabet is to reading, notes to reading music, and numerals to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to attaining the revealed knowledge of Proverbs. You've just got to have it. You've got to have it at the center. You've got to have it as your foundation. And what does this mean for us as Christians? Well, for us as Christians, this means to fear the Lord Jesus. It means to love the Lord Jesus and have Jesus at the center of our lives. It's to fear the Lord Jesus who says Luke in his gospel, Luke 2 verse 40, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. To fear God is to fear the Lord Jesus, the one in whom, says Paul in Colossians 2, 3, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I said before that there was no one wiser than Solomon, but there actually was. Jesus was wiser than Solomon. So to fear the Lord is to fear Jesus, who says about himself, compared with Solomon, Luke 11, 31, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. So friends, as I close, let me say to us, Proverbs promises us great things. We've seen, haven't we, tonight, what this book will do to us and for us. It'll make us wise with real knowledge about life, able to discern between right and wrong. It's something for all of us, whether we're wise at the moment or whether we don't have wisdom. Proverbs will make us wiser, equipped to lead, and equipped to learn from the book, from individual Proverbs once we know the book as a whole. But none of this will happen if we don't know and love and fear the Lord Jesus. If Jesus isn't at the center of our lives, none of it will make sense. The book Proverbs is a bit like a movie in 3D. It promises a great experience, an exciting ride. But Proverbs 1 verse 7 is like the 3D glasses that we need to put on for the movie to be something that we can see. So if we don't have the fear of the Lord and we want to become wise and we want to embark on reading this book Proverbs, we'll feel like we might feel watching a 3D movie without the glasses on. That is just a bit overwhelmed and a bit nauseous and very confused. But if Jesus is at the center of our lives and we fear Jesus and love Jesus, then Proverbs will make us wise, friends. It will make you wise. And what that will do is make you put Jesus even more at the center of your life, which will make you even more wise, which will make you put Jesus more at the center of your life, and you get the point. And that's a pretty exciting living experience. And let's pray that that happens for us. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are so generous to share your wisdom with us. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, your Son, who has come as the one wiser even than Solomon. Father, we pray that we would be those who truly fear you. We pray that we would be those who have you at the center of our lives and your Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Lord and King of our lives, that we might have the foundation for true wisdom. We pray, Father, that we would be those who desire to become wise. And we pray, Father, that fearing you, as we start to read Proverbs, we would receive the gift of wisdom. Please make us wise with all of the blessings that this brings for our lives, we pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.